And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
What do you do? How do you make yourself, you know, keep your mental health and feel better and advocate for it and kids and kind of, you know, what? What do you do? Well, you prepare. You get ready. You go, okay, if this bad stuff, all the stuff that you're talking about is going to, what do you do? Well, while you can, now's the time to do something. You know, it's that, hey, you got to get all ready. You got to go register to vote. No, maybe not. That might not do it. Might not be enough. Might even go the other way and make it worse. But, you know, so I'm going, all right, yeah, you know, run, vote, do whatever. I do, you know, I haven't been doing the voting thing. But, yeah, I run and, you know, get up there and say what's what about what. And then we do different things, like we'll have the vaccine education summit, and we'll just talk about it and see what kind of controversy we can get amped up there. It is so predictable how they react and they go after and they do. And fortunately, we're in a position a little bit different and have enough support. Go ahead. Take a swipe at me. Need $20? Encourage you. You want me to do a GoFundMe so you can come get me? You know, kind of, you know, you want some? You want some? You want to play? Let's play. Maybe they don't want to play. But when they do, they won't hold back. It's going to be, man, we're going, ooh, and doesn't Ernie have a, you know, something? You know, they can go get me on, and I just choose not to waste my time. If I'm going to do a battle, let's do a battle. I mean, I pick the boys, so we'll see what's up. All right, now, one of the things when things happen like this, we do stuff. Well, normally, when, you know, the bad guys scare the crap out of me, I'm going, wow, that is, we need to go get some more food or something. You know, I go get another bag of rice or beans or canned or something, just put in another poly barrel or just whatever. You know, I just because it made me feel better. And I get all mad. I just go buy another month's worth of food. You know, I'm all good. You know, it'll last me, you know, a few weeks with all my friends and family and everything. But, I mean, at least I got a few weeks. But if it was just Don and I, we'd probably be able to go, like, years. But, you know, that nobody ever gets ready. So we're encouraging that. The other thing is now I think I got, you know, enough food. Then I was worried about how do you cook it. And you started doing the calculations of how much wood or fuel or propane gas or, you know, whatever you need, coal, something, yeah, to cook it. And I'm like, I did not think of that. That takes up a lot of space to cook one 50-pound bag of beans. How much wood does that take? And I'm going, yeah, so we'll be fine. The Sun Oven. And I'm cooking a roast for Easter. You know, I mean, it's cold out. You know, we had, you know, in January, February, we're making bread in 50 minutes in the solar oven sit out back. And I'm going, wow, this is solar oven. That one device saved me about, a whole bunch of space, like a bedroom full of fuel or something. So I'm going, all right, because they don't hand out little uranium blocks for you to heat stuff. Someday, don't worry about it. You know, there'll be some kind of something they're going to have of a cold fusion little device of a backpack of whatever the hell, you know. But big thing now is energy. It's just energy. I need to power my devices. You go up to Jackalope, we go camping, you're off the grid. There is no outlet. You know, where do you charge all your stuff? Well, people realize they have to bring some kind of solar charging thing, you know, instead of running generators all the time. I saw, this is a pack. I bring this up because I just got this pack. It has two of the four charge controllers that I wanted. And I'm going, okay, Bob Anderson, he pimped it out, man. He had this one board. He goes, let me show you how easy this is. He had solar panels, came into just a, it was a the front of a cabinet. You know, like your cabinets on your in your kitchen, just that door. You just need a piece of wood. And it was like a narrow one. It might have been a corner cabinet or something. Then he put a charge controller, and he had an inverter on there, and he had it all color-coded and pretty, and there you go, boom, there it is, powered everything. That car battery there, deep cycle or marine, well, I got one over there. I said, wow, that it? That's how he goes, yeah. It's all about how many amps you need to supply. You got this much or that, and then do you want to have a printout? One of them, these are some LED lights. I have one that has a digital readout, and that was $30. These are 10 bucks. With inverters and the solar panel, every for like $100, you could have your own camping, go out, I got and go get some. I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? You know, and that's where the, you know, the battery would be like maybe, you know, depending on what kind of battery, I got four used. I've been accumulating lead acid batteries. They work good enough for me to do my camping thing. So we brought three of them. You know, Donna brought, I didn't even know she brought, I took one. And all of a sudden when she got up there, there's two more batteries. I go, you know, I guess what? We got enough power. So we were charging each one and so on. We, yeah, I don't want to have to carry all that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and start doing videos, more videos on this. And we'll talk about, you know, ooh, it's got a little flappy thing. All right. So this right here, $10 charge controller, because you need a charge controller for the energy coming in. How does it distribute it? You can use it. Charge your batteries, not melt wires, have your inverter convert it, you know, into something I can use of DC, AC, I got, like, power. So I'm going to go ahead and build a few of these, and these are going to be options to go with the domes. Because for, you know, for the low, 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 rip me off price of X amount, you know, $600 or something to get yourself a nice dome, you got power for that dome. You're going to be operating your laptop. You got, you know, you got taken care of. You're going to, you know, the biggest reason why I bring it? So I can have that plunge blender and I can get bulletproof coffee in the morning while I'm camping. That was it. You know, how are you going to do that? Well, I need power. I need a battery. I need an inverter. I need something to charge it. I'm going, I will have my bulletproof coffee in the morning while I go camping because I'm a civilized individual and I benefit from it. So I'm going, all right, I'm on it. Done. Donna gets her kitchen thing, but it's getting a little complicated. So we're going to be doing this as part of the smaller version of the camping thing, but we need the bigger inverters, and they call them Outbacks or something. We go, and that was why Derek Slopey, you know, won some. And if Bob would have got at least the money to pay for his Verizon phone extender if it went further. And it only covered his ground. But what a lot of people were doing is they were going up to the top of the mountain to get inside his little sphere of influence, you know, where he had this, you know, probably 50 feet, you know, from where the tower was. You get five bars of out in the middle of the nothing. And these things, it was $100 for this thing to amp a signal. And it just is for like your house. You're out in the Lone Prairie and you got one bar and it's just frustrating. You put that on and it gives you four or five bars throughout your house. And you're like, very cool. Well, he did that. He wanted to see how far it went. Well, it's not really far. Cover your yard, you know, or your home or something. But that was a very good thing to have. You're on the Lone Prairie. You might want that. So, you know, for a couple of $100 extra, you got your dome, you got power, and you got phone service increase and internet and 4G. And I'm going, really? And it only costs this much? Where a lot of these inverters, you can pay $1,000, $2,000. I mean, it's just some ridiculous amount that you can run multiple homes of getting on the power station up. Well, that'd be cool. We're going to maybe do that with the trailer, you know, with our power trailer, bug out, whatever the hell. But for just having something that I need power. I got my little dome thing. I need power. I need an inverter. I need a charger. I don't understand. Give me some simple, you know, just do it, make my computer go whir and get to plunge my bulletproof coffee. Got you covered. So we're going to do YouTubes on this, and I saw how cheap they were. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Because last time I looked, to get the same kind of thing was 3-4 times as expensive. Now, this solar thing gets butt-ass cheap. I'm telling you, cheap, 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 cheap. And if you're not learning they're doing, then you're just being a slackabist. Because whenever they do bad stuff, everybody, I'm going, you know what? I just decentralize my life a little more.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now, there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. What I'm going to show in on the video in the background here, I'm showing the Made Safe video, the original one that I saw. They released the alpha. Now, Donna has talked to Dave, or been communicating with him. He'll be on next Thursday. There's a couple of things that I, you know, that has maintained my optimism and mental health is to look at certain things. When we first started Freedom's Phoenix, it, you know, wasn't as prolific. I mean, we didn't have like, you know, 50 a day, you know, headlines kind of stuff. But it does give you a big radar, certainly now in the election cycle. After the election cycle, I don't know if it'll go to tune it down to only 30 a day or something like that, which was used to be our total. And it would be, at the time, it'd be like 20, you know, a day. We do a dispatch once a day, and it just got so overwhelming, you could see this perspective that you needed to have needed to include a lot more stuff. On weekends, Saturday, it was kind of the audience, our readers and everything, they'd realize that weekends were science. And the reason was, is on Saturday morning, I'd get up, I'd go in, and I would go, you know, there wasn't enough attention to people solving a lot of these problems. It's a decentralization thing. So I'm going, okay, so what if we looked at innovation and technology and advancement and decentralizing, getting away from the central plan of the command of I just run my life and bite me and what would I need? Well, you looked at innovations in energy, transportation, communication, and propulsion. Those are the one thing, you know, like I was thinking, you know, rockets and space propulsion. It's always going to be about propulsion. If you can get engines that are efficient or space planes or what, you know, that, you know, drones, you know, all this kind of stuff comes in. And then it started evolving into home manufacturing, making it yourself. 3D printers, you know, came in and all that kind of stuff. So it's all about decentralization away from a central making, doing, controlled of a CEO have gotten kind of campaign contributions, regulation, licensing of the crap. I don't care. So I'm showing you the Made Safe thing is just representative of a technology. There's others that have come out and tried to kind of piece of what they're doing, but they're always coming up short. You know, well, we have this, but it doesn't do that. Made Safe, David Irvine, it's a philosophy of, you know, can we decentralize everything? Well, he's come up with a nice little twist. I want to talk to him Thursday. He's coming on this next Thursday, less than a week from now. And he's going, yeah, we can build the entire worldwide network on Raspberry Pis. For $30, you got your own node of you kind of, I mean, if that's what you want to do, for as much as you use the network. And if you do, I got all these computers in here, you know, farming, you know, safe coins and providing storage and bandwidth for the network, well, you can make like, you know, safe coins. I'm all about making the safe coins. Because of the experience with Bitcoin, I will guarantee you that there are a bunch of people that are going to jump on early to get this thing going, because they know that those that value in that crypto is only going to go up, and they want to get it early. I do. I'm not missing this one. But that's not just because I think I'm going to get stinking rich or anything. I already got a bunch of safe coins from investment early on when they launched. But it's because I support the concept and the idea. But we're going to be talking about a lot of this. A lot of the activists, you know, they wait for the next party for it to come, and we sit around and, you know, and for hours saving the planet as we're waist deep in the pool drinking beer with a hat on, you know. And I'm just going, this is, you know, the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. Another party. This is Donna's third pool party. She goes, we need another party. Gotta have another party. It's still hot. We have a party. You know, so what's up with you and parties, and you like to go through all that work? Why?
It's not that much work for me, but because we already set up for it. But I don't know. Just so much crap going on in the world. I'm tired of thinking about it. So I just focus on something local here, and some people have opportunities to come. Some don't, and they couldn't have come before, but now they can. So I don't know. We'll see.
Donna Hancock, the better half. You know, this is, and anybody that comes by, they know. So this is a, you know, I mean, you do the hostess thing. A lot of time, you're in the, well, we have a lot of people, they potluck, and they just bring. So it's not like a big, giant, oh, my God deal. We just kind of provide the location, and people just hang. But, and then you have to kick some people out at, you know, like, you know, one in the morning. All right. Time to leave. No, here, take my hand, and you pull me. Leave. I mean, you know, I'm not shy about it, but you know, the people, they know they're welcome. Just, you know, hang, and hell, they sleep on the floor. I don't care. But the work that you have sitting in the kitchen. I mean, how much time are you sitting in the kitchen, and enough people coming and visit you to keep you entertained?
Well, it's a couple hours of prep for me in the kitchen before the party, just to get whatever I'm cooking or making out there. But you know, you have to manage a party. You have to make sure everything's refilled and all the garbage, because a lot of people don't pick up their garbage. So I kind of go around and do that stuff. You know, I'm just managing the whole thing as the evening's
going
on.
There's a lot of people that help with the guy. I've seen, like, you know, Keith's always, you know, Tarzan Keith is always taking out garbage. I see him doing it. He's like, you know, look, you know, I'm like, man, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
So I mean, it's just it's just part of being a hostess. You know, you go around and you try to talk to people that either one look like they're sitting by themselves. So you just try to, okay, how'd you hear about? You know, sometimes people just show up for the first time, and they don't know who we are. They have no idea. I mean, they could be plants. They could be just people that, you know, I've seen your posts on the Meetup or Freedom's Phoenix for years, and I thought I'd decide to come. So sometimes they're shy and sometimes they're not. So
that happens a lot.
So just go and say, hey, you know, what do you, you know, how'd you hear about us? What do you like, you know, how'd you learn about Liberty and all that stuff? And usually somebody else will join in the conversation, and eventually those people will have a conversation and I can leave and, you know, go manage
that.
Yeah,
when we have parties, it's anywhere from, I don't know what, 30 to 100. I mean,
it could be anywhere from about 20 to 30, 40, 50, but that's not all at once. A lot of times people sort of come in staggered increments. Some people stay the whole time, some people come and go.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you have the afternoon swimming kid crowd, and then it hits about dark 8, and then everybody comes from all their other stuff crowd, you know? And it's, when you look out back and they're having all these different, because we have a lot of, you know, like a fire pit here, fire pit there, a little there, you know, chairs over there, a covering over there, canopy there, in the pool, in the backyard, around the side, on the patio, in the barn. I mean, so how many separate conversations do you think are going on at one time?
Jeez, probably 10.
At least.
Or so. I mean, in small groups, maybe just two people. Sometimes there's a gathering of 20 people. You never know. It just depends.
And it depends. And kind of the featured, you know, Liberty Celebrity, you know, celebrity, what do they call them? You know, I had a word for it.
Celebritarian or something. I don't know.
Whatever. You know, is Davi Barker. You know, Davi's always been a favorite of a lot of people. I just watched his authoritarian sociopathy presentation that he did at Libertopia, and there's so much more in that than the article and the essay that he did, that I'm going, wow, man, that was cool. I'm wondering, maybe we should carve off a little time for him to do it if he's up to it. You know, he had enough energy. We got to go see Star Trek Beyond last night. He wanted to see that because he's traveling. You know, he's not watching TV. He doesn't even know. He goes, wow, that movie's out. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You know, well, tomorrow the party, there's a lot of things going on. I think one of the main things we're going to be focusing on is the summit, the vaccine education summit that we're doing on September 10th. And fortunately, like Donna says, we have experience in this enough, and enough friends and enough participation. We just push the reset button and a lot of things just come together, and we provide the infrastructure, because that's what we set up Freedom's Phoenix to do.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, now this is an interview on Russia Today with Max Kaiser by David Irvine and Nick, I think his last name's Lambert. And they're talking, I'm just sitting here watching it during the break. I'm going to continue this because they're talking about MadeSafe. Now, this is in 14, so this is a couple of years ago. This is as this really got going. And they had a crowd sale that went 5 hours, $7 million. Boom. Boom. So from the beginning, I'm going, man, you watch what happens. And I'm just, some things you can pick, and it's so neon flash and obvious to a liberty-oriented kind of decentralized demand. But is this getting covered a lot by, you know, the lamestream media? No. This is a direct threat on the entire system. Just listen for a few minutes and see what's up.
Comparable. You can look at MadeSafe, the SafeCoin part of MadeSafe, which is a facilitation for the way that the network works. So if you're a farmer in the MadeSafe network, you've got a computer, it's on, it's providing resources to the network, that's like a Bitcoin miner. So that's quite similar. There's no blockchain at all. It's completely distributed. So you can imagine that Bitcoin and protocols like that are a public ledger. They're very good for a public ledger. We need a public ledger. My opinion is government and corporations should be on that public ledger. People should.
People so should not.
The SafeCoin, the currency of the MadeSafe network, SafeCoin, is like cash. If I pay you in SafeCoin, nobody knows.
So there's no public transfer. Ledger?
No.
It's a fully distributed network?
It's a fully distributed autonomous network. So this is the first of its kind. And the way that it works, really, everybody's computer joins together to form this great big cyber brain, if you like. You decide to connect to that brain. You decide, nobody else. You don't tell us. You don't tell anyone. And you store your data on it. You can start making safe coins. You can buy and sell things on it. But the important thing is you can access all the world's information.
Does it use encryption?
Several levels of encryption. Yeah.
Okay, let me jump over to Nick here for a second so we can. Now, you're the chief operating office, yeah, officer of SafeCoin. So, just to pick up on this thread, so it uses encryption. So, when you're describing it here, it sounds like P2P file swapping, where people are using their hard drives to swap music files back and forth. But what you're saying is it's a distributed network that's fully encrypted and it mimics Bitcoin in many ways, and that you can use it to exchange value as well as a store of value. Are we getting closer to this?
At its core, it's effectively a global decentralized data and communications network. So that's all form of communications. That's email. That's voice over IP. So what we're trying to do, Max, is effectively replace the internet and decentralize the internet. So the comparison to Bitcoin, I think, is a good one, is in the same way that Bitcoin is trying to replace financial institutions and intermediaries in financial transactions, MadeSafe is also trying to do the same with data. So we are removing data centers from data communications and potentially large technology companies. And so the individual users become this network. So we are doing for data what Bitcoin's doing for trade, is a phrase that we've
got. Yeah, you guys are up in Scotland, up in Troon, Scotland.
Yeah.
And any particular reason why you are in Troon, Scotland, or you just happen to meet up there and that's just the way
for the Longustines mostly.
The Longustines.
Yeah, very, very good up there.
So. I see. So that's kind of the whole company's power. Now, speaking of the company being powered by Longustines and also by some cash, because this is where kind of the rubber hits the road. You did raise some money recently. Again, this is an interesting phenomenon in the crypto space, where these cryptocurrencies are raising money by selling cryptocurrency. You raised how much? $7 million?
At the time of investment, it was about $8
million. $8
million. In three days over two cryptocurrencies.
Okay. So this, is fascinating for folks, that this was an offering in the crypto world that raised $7 to $8 million, mm-hmm, and it happened quite quickly. I think in a day or two, this all happened, yeah, very fast. So walk us through, you're the COO, Nick, walk us through what that meant exactly. How did that work? What if I'm the average person on the web, what did I experience?
Yeah, so what we are selling is, we are selling basically access tokens to the network. So we are pre-selling those access tokens so that people can buy those and then use those for services on the network when it launches.
You call it tokens and not coins?
I think for me anyway, they're pretty much one and the same thing. I mean, it's a network token, it's a network coin. It has,
because there's a controversy about calling bitcoins coins because it flags the regulators. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying, for example, as the founders of Skype, who went to battle with the phone companies, they decided not to call their end-to-end user communication systems with the same words that the phone company uses, and kind of snuck it in under the regulators' noses. In the Bitcoin space, there seems to be this idea that, you know, maybe if we just called them tokens, you know, we wouldn't have these regulators all over it because it's a token. So, but that, was that part of the thinking, or you just happened to come to this?
I mean, the currency itself is called Made Safe Coin, and then it'll be called Safe Coin when the network is launched. So it's not a term that we've specifically shied away from. And I think, from what I've seen, the regulation part is maybe more the US side of things seems to be more concerned about regulation than anything I've seen from the UK government. So maybe that's a US issue.
Okay, so the folks that are involved with these tokens, and that gives them, what is that? That gives them access to the network?
Yes, applications are being built as we speak, and so they might be able to use these coins to access services in the network. So let's say someone launches a voice over IP, like a Skype type app, they might use one SafeCoin for 10 minutes of chat. So they can start to use these coins for services in the network.
And how many users are now involved in this network?
It's hard to say. Well, the network's actually not live yet, so there's currently zero users, but we've got a fairly large community building up. We have probably over 700 people signed up to our developer mailing list. We have approximately 2,000 people participated in the crowd sale. So, and there seems to be a real market pull for our product as opposed to us pushing it onto the market. So there are no users yet, but there certainly seems to be a real demand for it, Max.
What about the general population? Obviously, these concepts are pretty difficult to get through to the general population. Is the message, is it something that you can actually bring forward to people and they are understanding what it is you're talking about? Or how do you break through that? Because Bitcoin, it took several years to kind of reach any kind of mass or critical mass at all. What you're talking about is a variation on something that already people find kind of difficult to understand. How do you get the message out in particular? How do you get that message communicated to people in terms of this is going to give them more sovereignty, if you will?
I think it's just the easy way is your data is your data. It doesn't belong to anyone else. Your thoughts are your thoughts. It doesn't belong to anyone else. The internet promised that. It hasn't delivered it. MadeSafe promises it and hopes to deliver it. And by all accounts, it looks as though we will. There's a lot of people that are working with us are very interested in what we're doing. There's a huge amount of code. There's 8 years of testing. So replacing internet is something that we hope to be able to do. Bitcoin allowed us to get that message out a little bit more clear than we could previously, because no one knew what decentralization meant.
So, and also, we've got about a minute, and maybe you guys can stay for another session because it's pretty fascinating stuff, but we've got about 30 seconds left. Can you speak a little bit about where Bitcoin uses mining, but you guys use farming. Yeah. So what's that all about?
We don't want to destroy resources. So we don't want to use electricity. So farming is more about you're looking after data. It's a precious commodity. You're looking after crops. It's a precious commodity. And for us, the ability to look after data is something that should be rewarded. So every node or every computer that's on the network is rewarded in SafeCoin. So this is the farming mechanism.
All right, I think we're going to talk more about this farming analogy when we pick up this conversation in part two. But for now, I got to say goodbye. So let me say goodbye to everybody out there. That's it for this edition of the Kaiser Report with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert. I'd like to thank our guests, Nick Lambert and David Irvine from MadeSafe, who will be with us for another interview. If you'd like to get in touch, tweet us at Kaiser Report. Until next time,
bye. Yeah, this is, you know, what
welcome back to the Kaiser Report.
Back.
I'm
we'll
Max
go
Kaiser.
Ahead
time
and
to
do this
to Nick Lambert and David Irvine from MadeSafe,
I don't want to miss
an acronym from,
you know,
massive rave internal disk secure
from the
access
beginning.
For everyone. Gentlemen,
so go
welcome
ahead and
back.
We'll keep listening to
on
this.
Our discussion about
we'll
MadeSafe, this new phenomenon sweeping Scotland. So just to recap a little bit, for those who missed part one, give us the little 20-second version of MadeSafe. What is it?
MadeSafe is the internet as it was supposed to be. It's the internet without intermediary companies. No one else owns your data. So if I'm going to speak to you in MadeSafe, I speak to you. Nobody knows that I'm speaking to you. Nobody can record that I'm speaking to you. And there's no ability to steal that information and sell it back to you. If you put data onto the MadeSafe network or the Safe network as it is, then it's there forever. It can't be deleted. It can't be corrupted. You don't need to back it up. That's it.
So the storage is on people's hard drives in this distributed network. Yep. And to be a part of the network, you get a token, essentially.
You get a token. You don't actually need it. We've actually been able to work out an algorithm where everybody in the world will be able to join this network for free and use it for free. Because one of my early things was, if some person in Africa is given the ability to contribute and consume the information, the knowledge, and leaps out from behind a bush and has cured cancer, there's the return. That's the important thing. That information, that ability to be spread worldwide means that we've got much more innovation spread worldwide.
But now you're cutting into the whole patent business. So patents become intellectual property that's highly protected, and the example of various plants actually in places like Africa and it being distilled by pharmaceuticals and patented and then sold back to the very Africans where they got it to begin with. Mm-hmm. So in this kind of system, that information goes into the network. It goes around all the current patent laws, becomes accessible for free, and because it enjoys all these levels of encryption, they can't get at it. The same way they can't get at Bitcoin because it's encrypted. Yeah. They can't get at Proton Mail, which is a new encrypted mail service. Mm-hmm. So encryption is really the 21st century rallying cry for freedom. And Scotland is a place people rally for freedom. Yeah. So you're all about the freedom.
Yeah. Encryption's really important. The more important thing about the Safe Network is based on natural design. It's based on the design that ant colonies use or things that can be found in nature. So yes, very, very high levels of encryption, but the ability for a computer to connect to a network of computers, be recognized as that computer, be ranked as and then given data to look after and make sure it's looking after the data, the network becomes almost like a live thing, and it's owned by no one. So if you go onto a network and speak to Nick, we don't know you've went onto a network. We don't know Nick's on the network. We don't know our customers. We don't know any information about our customers. And that's really important, and it's never been done before. Because all of these, even Proton, any system out there just now that says, I'll give you security, poach your name, you're not secure. Or I'll give you security, log into the server that I control, you're not secure. Or put your data on this, it's fully encrypted, you're not secure, because I could delete it. So in a Safe network, you decide to join, we don't know you've done it, the network knows you've done it, it's that particular thing that's a network. You put your data on it, you interact with who you want to interact with. No one can look at you. And the IP address is scrubbed on the very first hop your data takes. So you can actually go through completely compromised routers. It doesn't, the network just doesn't care. It's encrypted all the way through. So this is a re-implementation of exactly what the internet should have been. It's the freedom for everyone. It's the ability for us to communicate and put information on and consume information free from large corporations. And that way, I believe that we'll get to a stage where we have news that's given to everyone that's free of propaganda. We are all controlled by this propaganda system. And I would like to see something where you get a piece of news that says three people were communicating and put information on and consume information on the very first hop your data.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And I've been listening to this interview on Max Kaiser on Russia Today with Nick and David from Nick Lambert and David Irvine from MadeSafe. And this has been, you know, a really good interview. I never saw this one before. I just put it in videos and this came up and I'm going, they're doing such a good job. Well, when we have David on this coming Thursday, and we probably have Nick on, you know, another time. I've had both of them on separately, but they're here together talking to Max, explaining this, and they're doing such a good job. I want to go ahead and continue it, but this is the point that he's making right now. I backed it up, 10 seconds or so that you can get why this is so, God, revolutionary doesn't even do it justice. paradigm shift. We're not here anymore, and you're going to see why. All right, let's listen.
I control. You're not secure. Or put your data on this, it's fully encrypted. You're not secure because I could delete it. So in a safe network, you decide to join. We don't know you've done it. The network knows you've done it. It's that particular thing that's a network. You put your data on it, you interact with who you want to interact with. No one can look at you. And the IP address is scrubbed on the very first hop your data takes. So you can actually go through completely compromised routers. It doesn't, the network just doesn't care. It's encrypted all the way through. So this is a re-implementation of exactly what the internet should have been. It's the freedom for everyone. It's
should have been
the ability
from the
beginning for us to communicate and put information on and consume information free from large corporations. And that way, I believe that we'll get to the stage where we have news that's given to everyone that's free of propaganda. We are all controlled by this propaganda system. And I would like to see something where you get a piece of news that says, three people were killed today in Jerusalem. One of them was a mum, one was a child, and one was a soldier. It doesn't matter. I don't want this corrupted.
Right, so
news.
Once again, it's using distributed networking to disenfranchise all the gatekeepers and the middlemen so that it creates sovereignty and freedom for everybody on the network. And you guys are from Scotland. This is all happening in Scotland. Of course, I want to talk about Royal Bank of Scotland for a second, but before I do, we've got a lot of interest in that auction that went, that happened. There's the auction of the coin. Then there was some controversy about the auction. Perhaps, Nick, you can walk us through the auction and what was the concern and what would you say to folks now that are looking for some guidance on this?
Yeah, so I think what we're doing was as I was saying in the kind of previous episode, we were auctioning off or kind of pre-selling the ability for users to buy these tokens, which would give them access to services in the network. And it was a sale that was intended to take 30 days. And we went through about $6 million in 5 hours. So really kind of walloped us. And we were taking participation in two currencies. One was MasterCoin. Another one was Bitcoin, and we anticipated getting, I would say, at least 75% Bitcoin and the rest in MasterCoin. And we felt that we wanted to support the MasterCoin guys with what they were doing because we were using their smart properties, which is a way of them issuing our tokens before our networks launched. So, but the crowd sale never worked out like that. It went so fast that we ended up with about a 50-50 split. And as it's obvious to anyone looking at coin market cap, MasterCoin is not hugely liquid. So what we've come away with is probably 50% of a nice liquid currency, Bitcoin, which is fantastic. And we've got 50% of a less liquid currency, MasterCoin, which we're kind of holding for the time being and seeing what happens there. But we've got reason to believe those guys are you know, going to do some big things over the next next few months. So
right. So MasterCoin is, I guess people call this Bitcoin 2.0.
Yeah.
It's more of a, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as it's a way of integrating other things into the blockchain. So you can just basically, you know, log other things in the blockchain.
But isn't that similar to a colored coin concept?
Smart property.
Yeah.
A smart property or colored coin. So you take an individual coin, and because Bitcoin is being created on the hop for another million, 10 million coins or so over the next 100 years, this is the idea to pull one aside and say this has a limited supply right now, and you can do a stock offering, you can do a deal offering, you can treat it as a contract offering. Yours, of course, with SafeCoin, it's proof of it's a proof of resource versus proof of work. Mm-hmm. So how does that work, Dave?
Basically, the proof of resource is proof of retrievability of data. It's what you're doing, and we need to, so the network, as I say, a computer connects to the network, and it's like this ant colony. It goes in and it grows as the network grows. It starts off as a small computer, an infant, and then it grows in rank. It's given data, and people ask for that data, and the network can tell that computer gave that data. And if it did give the data, it's in a blind lottery to win a SafeCoin, and that's really the proof of retrievability of data, and that takes into account the machine, its uptime, its offtime, its bandwidth, its CPU capability and whatnot. Then, interestingly, though, the network, as intelligent as it is, has no ability to decrypt any of that data. The network, with all its power, can't decrypt the data. That has to be a human that does that.
Yeah.
That's automatically handled by the client. So proof of resource for us is a more natural way, because it's you're rewarding people for doing something that's good, not rewarding people for doing something which is burning electricity. And not that burning electricity was wrong for Bitcoin, because there was no autonomous network that allowed anyone to log into for any purpose in a secure and private manner when Bitcoin came out. There is now. So Bitcoin didn't have a choice, really. It had to use a kind of proof-of-work hashing mechanism, and that had to have these things like block size, time, the 10-minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat unnatural, and against the way I think. I'm always trying to think about how do natural systems work and remove magic numbers. Magic numbers are a terrible thing in security, and particularly in encryption. It's one of the issues with some of the EC curves.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of times ants, ant colonies, and this type of thing. It seems like as economics and finance goes forward, there's more observation of the way things happen in nature in terms of the economics of it. Like the economics of photosynthesis, for example, mm-hmm. it's a perfect, almost frictionless market, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It happens on the level of photosynthesis. How do you mimic that? How do you capture that with frictionless trading? And these ant colonies are now known to be extraordinarily efficient, and et cetera. So do you draw on, I don't know, I'm trying to segue into Royal Bank of Scotland somehow. In every natural system, there are rats and predators and lice and this type of thing.
Yeah.
And Royal Bank of Scotland, HSBC, Barclays, Lloyd's here in the UK, you know, I mean, like your lower intestine has parasites,
mm-hmm.
But they're needed. To some degree.
Yeah.
But when they take over the body, you know, you die.
Yeah.
So here you have, like, HSBC, a parasite, mm-hmm. clearly a parasite. The chairman is out in the newspaper saying that enough of this banker bashing. You know, we paid our fines, and let's move on.
Yeah.
Now, when you read something like that... does that make you feel like, well, you know, the banks are going to start behaving better now, so maybe we should just give up what we're doing?
No, from a natural system perspective, in nature, any excess and greed leads to the demise of that species. So something that's over-greedy actually eats its own food supply and dies. The bank ate its own food supply of free money and should have died. But we kept it alive in a very unnatural system. It was unnatural and also anti-capitalist and anti-every other system we could imagine. So,
what would Adam Smith, one of the famous residents of Scotland, what would he think? What would he be looking at this current banking system right now? Would he be appalled?
Utter collapse. The thing about money and SafeCoin is I'm very focused on this, that to me, money is oil that drives an engine. And if you have someone that keeps taking that oil out and putting it in their own reservoir, the engine goes dry and dies. So money, when it's used, is a transfer of product and service worldwide, which was Adam Smith's real goal, was I can sell you my product or labour for however much you're prepared to pay for it. It wasn't in somebody in the middle is going to double the profit on it. So the idea of money, and if we consider money like just an oil for an engine, it's got to flow, it's got to, and if people are taking that oil out, then we have to stop them. And making money from money is a ridiculous thing. It was illegal. It was anti every Bible, I think.
The usurious interest.
Usury was illegal up to Henry VII or something. So the ability to make money out of money is a terrible thing.
You know, we're going to have to stop it there. But one quick question. When is it launched?
Testnet 1's up and running now. Testnet 2 and 3 are another 6 weeks each. So this year, we're
fantastic.
Up and running now.
Thanks, guys, for being on the Kaiser Report.
Thank you.
We've been keeping track of it. We've been making sure that, we're up to speed on what's going on. It has been a couple of years since this, and they're just now alpha, like last Friday. It's coming on next Thursday, gives them to update the world. Will change, and you're on the front seat.